Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft. Well, you're either heading into your Fantasy Grand Final or you're already starting your planning for 2020, but there is one more round of fantasy footy to enjoy. My name is Hayden Kenny, aka DOS, and this is our final round review and waivers show for season 2019 before we move into off-season content. And Stevie Fizz, what a year it's been.
It's been a crazy year. It's been an interesting year. And, you know, it's the first year I've been up in the rat, so I've been dealing with that as well. Very cold in the rat. And I was just thinking, actually, you know, it's been a tough little time for the Adelaide Crows, but they're actually playing in the inferior rat down in Ballarat. And if they actually drove on the bus across from Adelaide, they'd have to pass through Ararat. So it could be a little win. Even if they don't win the match, they get to see the sights.
And what are you going to be standing out on the road in your little beanie you're repping right now and giving a wave to Bailey Williams, who's probably going to get on the bus? You never know in the round 23. The Dogs aren't doing that well, so...
Well, I might just hold a sign up saying, Brad Crouch, join the Superior Coast.
Well, Jono Crockett joins us as well. Mate, it's been a big year all round. And how have you enjoyed this season?
All I can say is thank fuck it's over, because it is a grind doing this for 22 weeks of the season. But Steve, you failed to mention the head coach of the Superior Coast, Stewie Jew's birthday on Sunday. Big happy birthday to Stewie Jew.
Yeah, no, we did see that, and I can only imagine the size of the cake.
It's the size of Michael Barlow.
Oh, let's get into our round 22 review, looking at every game and all the things we notice for your fantasy needs for either your crucial grand final or looking ahead to 2020. Firstly, a look at the Friday night blockbuster Melbourne-Sydney. Fizz, what did you say?
Ollie Florence's season is in full swing, again taking a stack of CBAs, pure mid. Got the 98 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach. Was the fourth highest attending Swan mid, much like last week. So really putting together a nice little stretch of games here in the back half of the year. And you know, probably fans should probably be excited for next year. We know JPK is getting older. It doesn't look like they want to use Heaney in there. He's more the forward. So, you know, it could be good times for Ollie Florent. Hewitt was on Clayton Oliver all night. Not that Oliver's been bad, but that was a thing. Melbourne, you know, it's been a pretty rough year. Most people tipped them to be a lot better than they were. Angus Brayshaw has probably been the main letdown all year. He was pretty good in this match, took a stack of CBAs. I didn't think he looked too bad, but a lot of players are going to be coming in at massive unders if you think they've underachieved this year for the Demons. So it might be some good value to be had on the Demons players in the drafts. And just one player I wanted to touch on is Jake Lloyd. And he's been okay, like he's been solid the last 4 weeks, but he hasn't taken 6 marks in a game in the last 4. And it's really, you know, it's fantasy finals time, and he's really not putting out the return that owners would have come to expect from him. I'm just wondering about Jake Lloyd, you know, coming into next year. The matchups haven't been great for him, obviously, but it's just something to look at, I think. Maybe a little bit of a chink in the armour.
Is that something to maybe to do with like the Mills, your row bottom types coming in defence, and he's not getting those 1-2 seagull kick marks?
Yeah, I just think it's more of a, like, they haven't been chipping it around so much.
So sort of changed the game style a little bit.
He still hit the 30 touches in 2 of those matches. It just hasn't come, you know, in the switching or the, you know, maybe farting around with the ball so much. It's really just, you know, he's still getting 30 touches. It's just he's not doing those ancillary things to get a good score. But if the, you know, and we've seen teams play a little bit more direct out of defence, and the scores have suffered.
I saw, I think it was Statesman mentioned, maybe it was 2 weeks ago or so, that he actually noticed Jake Lloyd's scores trending downward with Jordan Dawson grabbing a few marks in defence. But was he playing more forward in this? I saw he kicked a couple of goals, but like maybe if that's not the issue, then maybe there is something else going on, like you're saying.
Well, Jordan Dawson was sort of all over the shop, and I think the Sydney have been experimenting with a few things. Like Lloyd's played a little bit of time on the wing. He didn't really do that in this match, to my eyes, but it's just something to monitor, I think.
Yeah, so even though these two teams are obviously horrible to watch at the moment, do you? I heard you say Melbourne potentially being a team that is really going to be draft relevant if you think that they are valuable, you know, going to be a little bit better next year. So it's basically both these teams. Do you reckon these guys on both of these teams are going to be pretty relevant in our preseason for the hype factor heading into the year with a fair few unknowns going in?
I'm not sure about the Swans. The Swans, you know, to mine, look to be doing a bit of a rebuild on the fly. So, I don't see where the huge value is going to be from them. It doesn't look like they want to have Heaney in the middle too much. They've really had every opportunity to do that. They've stuck with the main guys. And really, Melbourne have stuck with the same guys as well, if you think about it. They've had some issues up forward and they've moved Fritch up forward. But realistically, it's been, they haven't tried too many things.
Yeah. I want to ask you both, Ollie Florent, Jordan Dawson and James Rowbottom, who do you think will have the most hype 2020 preseason?
I'd have to see positions first, because I'd say Ollie Florent's going to be pure mid. Dawson could be anything.
Same with Rowbottom too.
Yeah, interesting stuff. All right, John, you checked out the Blues Saints.
The main thing I did notice, I have, for not seeing too much of Carlton of late, is Petrefsky, Seaton down in defence. Now, we know Daisy Thomas has announced his retirement, so maybe Teague is grooming Petrefsky, Seaton for that little mid-sized defender rebounding off half-back. I don't like it down there because he has that explosive pace and is the X-factor, so I'd like to see him as that wing half-forward type. And using his skills there. Also, Will Setterfield was playing in defence this week. We haven't seen that much at all this year, and he was playing more of a lockdown role, so maybe that's something going forward. He was playing a lockdown role in Membury, but didn't do too well, as he did kick 3 goals there in Membury. And Harry McKay, this guy, when he gets a full run at it, he is an absolute star. Took the 11 marks, 5 of them contested. Now, I was one of the people at the start of the year who thought it was key forward season, but of late, it actually has been key forward season. We've seen handsome Tom Lynch go ham. McKay's been good. Casbolt's been good. Membury, so, and especially Jack Darling, especially in the second half, has gone ham as well. So, might be an indication of things next year, but it also could be of the game slowing down, players getting tired, that there's a bit more space to open up. And also in the CBAs this week, when we see them taking the CBAs, the midfielders are right up on that centre circle. But with Paddy Cripps this week, with Steel, the Steel tag, he was sitting about 2 to 3 metres off the actual CBA, opening up the space there, allowing the other players to get a bit of clearance. So it's maybe a little tactic to employ, that you open that space up and just to get the ball in inside your 50 going on. But that's all I've noticed for that game.
Oh, that's an interesting thing, looking at some of the tactics and also some of the things that we were looking at in the preseason. And yeah, one of those things you were thinking maybe the key forwards would go big. And it was interesting looking back at a few of the things that we did wonder about in the preseason, such as some of the defender stuff that was going on and some of the ruck hype that we were going about, or, you know, devaluing rucks a bit. It's going to be interesting to talk about that stuff in the off season coming up. Plenty of content. Out of all the young players at Carlton, can you both give me one breakout candidate for 2020 and one player to stash in your keepers? Because I think Carlton's kind of one of those teams where you've got your Curno and your Murphy, who since Teague took over really have spent a lot of time in the midfield, but you probably don't see that going forward too far into the future with them both getting on in age. What do you reckon in 2020? Are Carlton going to be sort of relevant for those value picks as well? Maybe similar to what we've been talking about, Melbourne and maybe Sydney.
I think we're going to have to wait for the trade season as well, because they obviously, Carlton are obviously the front runner for Coniglio. And if that is the case, then Murphy, you would think, is out. And it's also going to hamper Sam Walsh's development. I mean, he did a pretty good job on the wing, but again, he's not going to have I'm going to have no interest in him next year if he is on that wing. But SPS could be something next year if he does take the Daisy role, because we did see Daisy average pretty well this year, so he could be one.
I'd say Wietering, maybe in your super coach formats. Like, he hasn't really joined the elite or anything like that, but maybe Wietering.
Yeah, I'll probably jump on. I mean, is Charlie Kerner, is he right to go by 2020? If they just were resting him for the final bit here to get him right for 2020, I'd certainly be keen on him. I just think there's a few names there that are potentially going to be valuable picks that could really push, not in your top ends of your draft, but sort of that mid to late really valuable picks for Carlton, depending on who pops and, like you said, depending on the trade period. But definitely a couple of nice stashes out there. I'm kind of liking for the future. Lockie Bryan's got a bit of Tom Phillips about him for me for the future. I don't see him being like the huge upside 100-plus guy, but that 90 to 95 mid, maybe a nice little long-term stash in your keeper legs. Aside from, of course, my boy Paddy Dow, who popped this weekend, Jono, and you've said off air that he was outstanding in this game.
No. Don't put words into my mouth. I said he was out in the stands.
All right, we'll get on to Lions-Cats, which Cam was a late withdrawal from this one, so we will just go off a few of his notes, and if anyone has anything to add after that as well, you just jump in. So he said, Chris Scott using his side's positioning on the ladder as an invitation to experiment. So obviously that's a bit of a saltiness there coming through from Cam. So he said Zach Tuohy spent a lot of the game playing a defensive forward role on Daniel Rich. So from a fantasy perspective, it was complete nothing move. Both ended up getting their average, though it did impact Rich's disposal efficiency off half back. Guthrie was also deployed on the wing, where he has been more central and slightly forward throughout the year. So it severely limited his output, having 29 fantasy and 54 supercoach. Now, just quickly, Jono, I have been listening to a few of our old shows for the You Suck content, and this is not a You Suck related thing, but you mentioned in preseason show that you've had a bit of faith in Cam Guthrie in the past, to no avail, but what have you thought of his season in 2019 in what's been somewhat of a return to fantasy relevance?
Yeah, look, he's always appealed to me as that go-between sort of wingman that we see, a Lockie Hunter type, where they use him going forward, but it's just never eventuated throughout his career. We've seen a little bit of this year, but I always hold hope that he will become fantasy relevant. So if Chris Scott can, you know, get off his ass and actually do some coaching, then we might be able to see that in 2020, where he is that link man that we see a lot of wingmen, like a Whitfield, a Hunter, those types of players moving forward.
And then, unfortunately, he's going to lose that defensive status and probably be irrelevant again, though.
Correct.
So Cam also pointed out that Blitzarves is playing in that ruck role again. That is going to be pretty fantasy relevant going forward. 82 fantasy and 95 super coach points. So he managed 25 hitouts against Steph Martin and the Big O. So next week he's got Carlton and Cruiser. But what Cam says is that if there is no other ruck named again for the Cats, he should be a great shout for a defensive stream, which is true. It sounds good. Jono.
Stanley brained it in the VFL on Sunday, so big chance to be recalled.
Yeah, so definitely keep an eye out on that. And that could be one of those things with the Cats being a late withdrawal or something, or adding someone in. It could really be a risky play in your grand final, but it also could be a fantastic play with Blitzarves just dominating lately. Cats continue to display a disposal light game of footy, having 40 less than their season average. This matches the Lions' efforts, and it's indicative of the pressure shown in the game, with both sides finishing top of the round for total tackles. And that's the finishing of the notes from Cam. Now, Steve, you checked out Crows and the Pies.
Yeah, and it was not much of a game, really. Pies really ran away with it in the end. It was very much a keepings off game. Collingwood registering 144 marks, if you don't mind. And I think Collingwood seem to have settled down on their moves. We know they suffered a raft of injuries, but the team looks reasonably settled now at this point. So it's probably what you see is what you get. I know Jamie Elliott had a massive score, but I don't know what the Crows defenders were doing, but he just seemed to have 2 metres on everyone, and the Collingwood mids were actually just hitting targets really well inside 50. So you saw some pretty ordinary scores from defenders against Collingwood, which is something we're not really used to. For Adelaide, Fogarty's kicked 8 goals in the last 2 weeks, and against West Coast and Collingwood, so you'd consider them to be reasonable opposition. But I think it's going to be a fantastically interesting off-season for Adelaide. When you look at some of their midfield types, you've got Gibbs will be over 30 in 2020, Sloan turns 30, Brad Crouch will be 26 in January, Brody Smith's 28 in January, so they're a pretty old team when you look at it, and you'd have to say they've underperformed. So it's going to be really interesting to see what they do. Chase Jones did get some midfield time once it was all over, but I don't know what to think for Crows supporters. It's been a rough year, and they're sort of stuck in their list is too good to really bottom out, but it's tough to see them really competing with the poor sort of effort. Like Colin kick. In the third quarter, the stat was shown they kicked like 9 goals from clearances, and you'd think Adelaide's midfield is really, their strength.
Yeah, you think they're going to be a pretty tough team to rank come next year as well, because there's a lot of question marks. And what happens if, say, Sam Jacobs and Riley O'Brien end up on the same roster again? This is just going to be a nightmare for drafting, and they're probably going to fall super far. But you'd imagine one of them has to be gone, surely, this off-season.
Yeah, I can't see him. Well, I mean, I don't know about that. Like, it depends what sort of gets thrown up. Like, teams need more than one ruckman. Like, you can't just sort of have no one there. I think one thing that's really interesting, I was checking out during the week, and it's everyone sort of talks about the leg speed with Adelaide, and I think they've tried to run guys like Brody Smith and Miller and all that through the midfield. But one thing they also don't have is really good contested marking. They're top contested marks player per game was ranked 45th in the league. So you consider, like, in their middle of the pack when it comes to a team effort, but they really don't have anyone clunking grabs on a regular basis. And their forward line pressures is abysmal.
And I can assure you that hashtag Pike out is flowing strong in Adelaide over here. I can tell you that that movement is coming on strong. It's pretty funny with Darcy Fogarty, because he was playing as, I know for a significant time in the sample, he was playing as a key defender. And then he's practicing like that, and they're saying, oh, he's not playing good in the sample. Well, he's playing as a key defender. He clearly comes in, kicks eight goals in 2 weeks, and you'd think maybe he's a forward. So it's kind of interesting stuff. What do you think of Fogarty as just a long-term prospect for the fantasy circles? I mean, he's a key forward, so we're probably not that excited, really.
Well, I mean, is he a key forward? He seems to me like the sort of big body power player that could maybe get bursts like a Jordan Degoe. I mean, and really, a lot of the stuff we talk about with key forwards, doesn't it? A lot of it comes down to the midfield. Like, the key forwards who are doing well are in good teams.
Yeah. I want to ask you as well, Stevie, Scott Pendlebury for 2020, do you think he gets drafted too early next season based on the role he's got to play for much of this season, back to being that pure midfielder, with the injuries at the Pies basically forcing him into that more fantasy-friendly role? Do you reckon maybe he could get overdrafted? It's very early, we know, but what do you think of Scott Pendlebury for 2020?
I do think he'll be overdrafted. I can't see him continuing this same role. One thing that blows me away is, why don't teams tag Pendles more? When he gets tagged, he gets shut down. Like, he's so slow. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's strange. North Power, Jono, you checked out that game, which was a monster blowout.
Hashtag Hinkley out. It's all happening down in Adelaide at the moment. No, this game was...
Honestly, I think Hinkley out is actually way stronger than Pike out over here too, based on people I've talked with.
Yeah, well, you know, the 20-odd fans watching this game at Marvel Stadium on Saturday night were in for a feast. Benny Brown went ham against All-Australian defender DBJ, who really shit the bed on that one. Not really much to talk about. Westhoff was in defence again. I don't know what the hell Hinkley's thinking about there when you've got a guy who just roams up and down the wing like a gazelle, picking off marks and kicks left, right, and centre. Can even push forward a little bit. Ladhams, you're out, buddy. They've got a bloke called Lysette playing in the twos. Has to play. The only reason I think they're not playing Lysette is to bump the value up of Ryder, who was absolutely smashed by Goldstein. It was vintage Goldstein. I think he had 13 disposals, 6 clearances just on his own in the first quarter, kicked a goal as well. So Just an absolute clinic from the Roos. Simpkin, he was playing a bit of midfield time, been tracking the CBAs in this game, only done half of it so far, but Simpkin looked like he's in the mid, and they had some good mid rotations going through. But other than that, there's a lot of questions there on the Port Power and how they're going to structure up for 2020, especially without Connor Rosie in the team to lead them away.
Without him? What is there?
He didn't
is
play.
There buzz?
Didn't play on the weekend. He was sick.
Who's this? Connor Rosie.
Not Rosie. Who's your boy? Dersma.
I don't know who's. I've never claimed them as my boy. You just think because they're young that they're my boy. Anyway, Dersma. Yeah, Dersma's a gun. Just on a personal note from this game, really hurt the DOS brand in this one heading in. DBJ killed me in a matchup with Archie. An 8 fantasy and 7 super coach. I mean, this guy. I want to read out his past 5 games or something. He was one of the most informed players, defenders in the competition. This is outrageous. Like, round 16 to now, 116, this is just the AFL fantasy, 116, 114, 93, 80, 104, 104, and then an 8.
When the variance hits, DOS. In your prelim.
An 8. And then it just stung even more because Simpkin's last... This is another variance thing. Simpkin, what is he averaging in his last bloody 5 games? Of course, I dropped him to the waiver. So this is since his round 16. He went a big 110. Then it's been 51, 66, 52, 61, and 48. And then he pops a 119. So, Steve, your variance has killed me prelim.
I'm sure the listeners struggling. Really give 2 fucks about your team, DOS.
They do. Frio Essendon, Cam checked out this game. He says both of these teams are terrible. This game was the worst expletive. Now, he does say the Jaws/Odd Job chair off the field at the end was great and someone should Photoshop this. So, I don't know what... He's referencing the Sandilands giving the piggyback to Hayden Ballantyne. The Jaws/Odd Job reference, I'm afraid, not get.
That's a... James Bond reference. You would not have been born when those movies were out, especially with Odd Job and Jaws. And you never played GoldenEye on Nintendo 64. What the hell's going on with you, DOS?
I did play that, thank you very much. And I have seen Jaws. I rewatched it recently, actually.
Jaws is not the shark. No, not the shark.
Oh, is this an evil villain in Bond as well?
He's a henchman.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm embarrassing myself here. All right. Chera, Brayshaw, Redmond all still look great from a keeper perspective, says Cam. Love how he threw Redmond in there. Really, really just giving me a shout out there. Thanks, Cam. He says, expect to be without David Zaharakis for your final. His foot injury suffered in the second period of the game. Looked pretty bad, I think, so he's expecting him to be out. After a few lean weeks, Brad Hill might have sent a further scare to the Melbourne Suitors, trying to pick him up with 9 of his 32 possessions, resulting in a direct turnover, going at 46% efficiency, which is crushing his Supercoach scores. He only got the 58 in that one. He also says something about Alex Witherden getting knocked out. So, did you guys see that? But he did play very limited time on ground. So, maybe that's why his score was a bit down. Anyway, Steve, Tigers-Eagles, that was all the Cam notes for that game there.
Yeah, I didn't think there was much to really talk about from the Eagles-Richmond. I mean, there was, you know, the teams are pretty settled. Hutchings got injured, so maybe less of a worry for Hawks to get tagged next week. Maybe that's it. And, you know, Grimes was really manning just loose in defence, just intercepting everything that came his way. He did get injured, but he came back on. So he rolled out a nice Supercoach score with all those intercept marks. But yeah, I mean, it's just a good game of footy to watch, but didn't think there was any significant moves for fantasy.
What's happened with Sheed scoring the last few weeks? Is he just variancing it right now, Steve? Because Archie's hashtag Sheed Island brand is really struggling in this last part of the season.
He seems to be spending a little bit of time forward, but you know, it's a tough team. Like, you know, not everyone scores well against Richmond. It's what it is.
Alrighty, GWS Dogs. Jono, your Dogs are up and firing at this end of the season. What's going on? What did you see?
De Boer went straight to Bont and in his first game back and was pretty, I wouldn't say influential, but I don't know if it was just a bit of rust on De Boer. He didn't hold Bont down too much. He was still able to have a little bit of influence, but that's the thing with the Dogs midfield. If Bont doesn't get you, they've still got McRae, Dunkley, and it also helped Lipinski's game this week. He went ham, scored pretty well in both formats, kicked a couple of goals. They're playing the Crows next week, so he won't tag, so Bont will be back to his standard best. And we've noticed since Luke Beveridge learnt how to coach that it has been Bont, McRae and Dunkley in that midfield, which has pushed Bailey Smith as more of a forward. And he's actually been scoring all right as a forward, so there is a chance that he could be a forward status next year and might be worth a punt as a bit of a flyer. I mean, you know, injuries hit at any sort of time, so if McRae and Bont or someone like that go down, then he's into that midfield next year. And Jack McRae, he will certainly be my number one midfielder for 2020. The bloke is absolutely on fire at the moment. I think he's had 10 games in a row with over 30 disposals, absolutely braining it. So Jack McRae will be my number one midfielder. And the Doggies, they lost Tim English to gastro before the start of the game. Trent Gove was doing most of the work and up against Dawson Simpson. Gave away a few free kicks, but Tim English expected to come back in next week against O'Brien and Jacobs, and we might even be able to see Jordan Sweet if Beveridge wants to play a two-ruck system, who's a rookie that we the Doggies picked up who's got massive potential as well.
Yeah, nice one. And in the 2020 stakes for the Bulldogs, I mean, all their guys are so young as well, so you'd think that they're going to be fairly easy to read heading into 2020 ranking season with Dunkley, McRae and Bontempelli just getting significant mid-time in the back half of this year, proving successful formula for getting wins. But that other fourth spot, I would suggest maybe, you know, Bailey Smith is that guy as well in 2020 with the forward status would be awesome, but what happens with Libba? Do you think, is he still contracted for next year and does he still get a run through there next year?
He's still contracted, but when Libba's in the team, that's where we saw Dunkley lose a lot of that midfield time. So they were he was the one who was swapping out. So, you know, we've seen Beveridge experiment with Liberatore forward, defence on the wings, but Libba's a midfielder, pure and simple. So it could actually affect Dunkley next year, and we could see Dunkley get overdrafted in 2020, which is a distinct possibility.
And we'll get on to the final game, which was Hawthorn versus the Suns. And do we have sort of any notes on this one? I think we've sort of all covered this game now. Steve, do you want to start us off with what you've been saying?
Just defenders continue to monster against the Hawks. And anyone against the Suns is usually a pretty strong bet. I mean, I think tweeted out as soon as Jared Ruffhead was named, pick up Ruffhead and, you know, bang, ton.
Yeah.
Signing a four-year deal.
And we've actually been talking about it for a few weeks now. I think James Warple is one of the most interesting players heading into next season as to where you rank him, just with Tom Mitchell on the cusp of his return next season. Has the way he's gone about it the last few weeks, just braining it in the last few weeks, has that changed any of your minds as to where you think he fits into the midfield mould next season? Obviously, he's going to be in there, but with Tom Mitchell there, what sort of range, where do you think he'll go drafted and as a pure mid, and what sort of scores do you think he can put up for us next season, Jono?
I think we're going to see him play as a Devon Smith role that we saw him last year. So coming off the forward line with pushing through the midfield. I mean, Tom Mitchell is the number one midfielder of that club, no question about it, but there is certainly a role for him there, and I can see him playing a Devon Smith-type role next year. But range, look, he's going to go from overdrafted to way too late, so it's hard
I reckon you're way off. I reckon he'll stay in the midfield.
Who goes out, though? O'Meara?
Chad gets more of a split, and we'll talk about another guy in my trade targets.
Fair enough.
Okay.
That's I don't want to be, you know, that's not trying to throw shade. I just have a completely different opinion. I can't see them. I think it's a waste. You're talking about a guy going into his third season and he's going to lose midfield time. No way.
Yeah. 20 contested possessions in this game against the Suns as well. 134 fantasy, 142 super coach. He's been going absolutely monstrous. They actually tried to chuck Cam's boy, George Haaland-Smith, on him to tag him. So obviously did a fantastic job there. Warple only had the 34 disposals, 7 tackles and 2 goals. So great work, Cam. That's probably why he pulled out late of the show. But anyway, George Haaland-Smith, the brand was definitely not too good this season. All right, we've got grand final streams, Captain Risky, Keeper Trade of the Week, and our mailbag to come. Jono, 230 iTunes rating to get you smashing peanut butter in your face and various other activities. Are we there yet?
We are not. We are stalled on 223 ratings. So the listeners are abandoning ship now that it is the off season. So could be safe till later in the year. Who knows?
That's crazy. Don't abandon us. Now's the time. Now's the time you're doing your research. You'll be smashing it in your drafts next year. You'll be all over it. The off season's a hell of a lot of fun. Do not bail out. It's the best time.
Hell of a lot looser than in season, that's for sure.
Couldn't be much looser than I was Thursday night. Still recovering. The Twitter storm was ablaze. I might have an interview tomorrow night, which I don't know how that occurred. And God help me.
Hey, but no, you did the right thing calling out the trolls and, you know, sticking up for Cam. It was good.
Yeah.
Unbelievable scenes on a Thursday night from Stevie Fist, though.
It was great because I had a bottle and a half of red. Sorry, I shouldn't say what I'm about to say, but made my way down to the pub, played some poker, had a few skewies, came back, dropped another bottle.
Still waiting for you to do that interview with Terry Wallace that he agreed to do.
That's what happens. I just get hammered drunk and line up interviews that I don't know how to conduct.
That's what you call old Dossie on, and he can do it all.
Holy shit.
Stitching me up. Grand final streams. We've got players under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy to try and win you your grand final. Jono, no pressure. Who have you got for us?
Ben Brown, 71%. Bang. Playing Melbourne, no key defenders. Melbourne, absolutely shot. You got Harry Himmelberg at 32%. They are playing the Gold Coast Suns this week. Still questions on Finlayson and Cameron to come back in on that one. Simkin at 57% as well. We know the Melbourne midfield have been giving up points. Taylor Giray also at 71%. Defenders actually scored pretty well against the Crows. And I don't mind Jamie Cripps at 69%. Nice against Hawthorne next week. That's about it.
And Stevie Fears, what have you got?
Yeah, I don't mind a lot of those, actually. I had Himmelberg at the top of my list as well. I've got Adam Saad against Collingwood, 57% ownership. They scored 92 against Fremantle, and you can loophole him with the Friday night match. So that should be interesting. Ollie Florence, only 67% ownership against St Kilda. Sean Attlee, 42% owned against Melbourne. Kangaroos, you know, been playing some pretty good footy. And Charlie Dixon against Fremantle. I'm pretty interested in that. 27% ownership. You just had Mitch Brown score mid-80s or 90 against Fremantle. So a little bit of interest in Big Dixon because Port Adelaide being the yo-yo, they'll be on next week.
Alrighty, and I guess if you didn't say I was trying to listen hard, Charlie Cameron, I don't know, it's going to be a tough matchup against the Tigers, but he has been scoring pretty well lately. And what was the quote, Jono, from the Cats coach? Because he's not that dangerous, Charlie Cameron. You might as well let him off the leash.
No, he wasn't influential. Our old mate Chris Scott didn't think Charlie Cameron was that influential on the game at all, yet he kicked 5 out of Brisbane's 10 goals. So, well done, Chris Scott, you knob.
And Bailey Smith coming up against Adelaide. I don't think many people will be in their grand finals with Bailey Smith in your midfield, but he's been going okay lately. And Adam Chera, really a spike in performance from him lately, only 41%. What have you guys seen? I've seen some pretty good signs from Adam Chera lately, but is he sort of on your 2020 radar? Now, this is talking for a stream this week. I mean, he's had 83 and 89 in his last two coming up against the Power this week. But talking about this week and then talking about next season, what do you see from Adam Chera?
He's not on my radar for this week, but he's going to be on my radar in a very big way for next year. And a lot of that comes down to potential personnel moves. We hear a lot of rumours about Brad Hill being out. We know he's, you know, put together a really nice year, gets a lot of the ball. David Mundy, you know, his first half was pretty good. Second half's been a bit role variant, we'll say. So there could be a lot of ball. We know it's obviously Andrew Brayshaw season, but I've got high hopes for Cherry if some of that outside ball goes missing.
All right, keeper trade of the week. Fizz, take it away.
Yeah, I've actually got two for you. The first one is a buy, and I think it's actually a pretty good time to buy Ollie Wines. He's coming in with sitting in an average of 91 Dream Team and 84 Supercoach. We know he had no preseason, and he's battled to stay fit over the season. But he has been extremely durable over his career. I would assume he still has about 4 prime years left. You know, there's older players at Port Adelaide who get a strong run in the midfield. So I think he might be a good shout to be a nice buy low target. And the sell is Liam Shields. This is a guy who, he's averaged 97 last year. He's averaging 98 this year. You're talking about the number one scoring player in the game, Tom Mitchell, coming back into this midfield. Potentially Steve Cornelio. We obviously don't know where he's going to be. James Warple's up and coming. They've got the Chad flying through the midfield, and I'd expect him to go back to a sort of a more mid-forward role. So I really think Liam Shields is someone you might have to 2-for-1 to get a deal done, but that's the sort of move I'd be looking to make.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on that split in terms of Warple. I think we'll play just mad mid-time next year. I just can't figure out what the scoring split is going to be with such a ball-dominant guy like Tom Mitchell back in your team, because Warple has those traits like Tom Mitchell about him where he's just a ball magnet and it just falls in his lap, and it's like Tom Mitchell and him sort of similar, just magnets when they're up and about. So it's just really going to be interesting coming next year.
Yeah, I don't think it affects their roles. I just think it's going to affect their ceilings.
Yeah. All right, well, now a captain risky. Cam has sent us 2 options for the grand final. So this is a captain option outside your obvious Grundy guy that you've got on your team, hopefully, at this time of the year. So he's got, if he plays, he says Jeremy Cameron against the Suns. Obviously just thinks he's going to kick a monster bag like big Jared Ruffhead did this week. And then he said if he doesn't play, he goes Jack Crisp versus the Bombers is his pick on the Friday night. So there's your captain risky from Cam. Now be sure to stay tuned to the Draft Doctors website in the off season. We've got plenty of quality content planned for season 2020 as well. So get excited about that. So for all your AFL fantasy and super coach needs this off season, go to thedraftdoctors.com.au. And this week, check out the Dozen Deals, Centre Bounce Attendance, Statesman Skippers, and Late Week Pickups articles for the week. What have I missed, Jono?
Well, in the great words of yourself, Dossie, I just want to have a big shout-out to me this week. If you read the Late Week Pickups articles, all the players went absolutely ham and scored well. We had Ruff in there, tunned up both formats. Tim Membry, 90s. Alir, probably a little bit of a letdown, scored 79 and 77. And the Seed also tunning up. So big shout-out to me, Doss. Thanks, mate.
Very nice.
And just for all the listeners, I've made it back to the Keeper League Grand Final against the Statesman. Sorry, old Toby, last year's champion. He's been knocked out, and we'll have all the Listener League recaps next week. I don't think any of us went particularly well, but aside from the Keeper League, where we're obviously facing off. Statesman, you go on.
Well, we also had old mate Brennan brought home the title in his Keeper League as well, so well done to you, Brennan.
Good on you, Brennan. We're hitting the Twitter mailbag now. You can find us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or Instagram, or search The Draft Doctors on Facebook. And I'll get on to the Twitter sphere now. So we've got, well, Jem Hunter's just given us a shout out. He says, it's coming home. He's won the title here, his Supercoach Draft League. Congratulations, Jem. Another one from Michael. How do you appropriately let your nemesis know that you are vastly superior to him after he's had the best team all year?
Shove that trophy in his face and make him eat it is the best way.
Rudy's missus.
Matt Clark. Cheers for the Wingard over McAvoy advice during the week. Gents, that was a reply one of you guys did on the Twitter sphere. He's into the grand final, and he says, would you change this starting ruck and forward line? Now, it's a picture here, so I'll try and describe it. He's got Rowan Marshall on field with Tim Kelly, James Warple, and Chad Wingard. Then he's got McAvoy on the bench with Ryder and Mundy. So I guess he's going for the matchup. This is a fantasy question. He's wanting to know which ones he should be playing. Should he switch?
Marshall's up against Sydney this week, so lock it in.
Yeah, I'd be, you know, you got to play the Chad. Who else has he got? Warple. You got to, I mean, I know it's not a great matchup against the Eagles, but, you know, come on. Yeah. Playing pure
don't,
mid.
Like, don't play Ryder, probably, especially if Lysette's back. But what about Mundy? Who's he got in his final week, Mike?
Port Adelaide.
The AFL app's not doing me favours right now. Yeah, Port Adelaide. Okay, so would you take any of those guys over him? Tim Kelly versus Carlton? Probably. Yeah, I probably like it the way it is at the moment, but.
Yeah, I like the way it is.
Well, I think that's the ones there. Is there any questions on the Facebooks? I'm not sure.
Haven't seen anything. No, haven't seen anything on that.
All right. Well, I think that is all the questions. We wish you a very good grand final next week if you're into it. And also, thank you for listening throughout 2019. Have you guys got any closing thoughts before we head off and we start our off-season content next week?
I'm just glad it's over.
Exactly what Steve says.
I'm so glad.
It's a grind.
All right. The grind is over, but we will see you for our continuing grind. The off-season grind starts next week. We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.